miracle. Now, my sister. Yeah, cataracts, both eyes. And they did the surgery on both eyes, and now she's got 20/20 vision at a distance. She, you too?
Better than 20/20, according to the doctor.
Oh, it's amazing because. Yeah, Coke bottles. My sister was legally blind since the age of like 13, okay? She is now, can see, it's a miracle. It's a miracle. She will need glasses for reading, but at a distance, she can see just like anybody. Me, I need my glasses. Well, praise the Lord, folks. Let's grab our hymnals tonight and open up to 74. Hymn 74, we'll sing At Calvary. And we'll stand. First, second, and fourth. Let's find out why that is the wrong song. That is, let's see if that's the right disc.
It was for the home. Volume 1.
Oh, okay. That explains why. So sorry, folks. Let's get over to 65. I wasn't too far off. The old rugged cross.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering. But I love that old cross through the dearest and best of a world of lost sinners was slain. So I cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross. Any stains it's only for a crown. To the old rugged cross, so despised by this world, has a wondrous attraction for me. The Lamb of God left His glory above to bear it to the Calvary. So I cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to you.
Think about it, church. Please be seated. Someday, he'll crown us for service. Not that we deserve it. We don't. If we got what we deserved, we'd be in big trouble. But because of his loving mercy and tender kindness, heaven is our home forever. Oh, that's so good tonight to know. What a blessing. And at this time, let's grab our Bibles and open up to the book of Psalms. Of course, we're still in Psalm 119. And getting closer to the end of it. In Psalm 119, exposition, tonight we come to verse 161. Psalm 119, verse 161. The Hebrew letter is Shin. And we read, "Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. 7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments. My soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee." Father in heaven, how we thank you for these precious verses tonight. And as we come to our time of scriptural study, we're so grateful, Lord, that we've got a book from heaven. Lord, we're so thankful that the Word of God transforms us into the image of your dear Son. Lord, we're so thankful that there is no other plan. There is no other remedy for sin. There is no other way of being sanctified but by the Word of God through the Spirit of God. Lord, we love your Word tonight, and we ask you to bless it to our hearts, sanctifying us thereby and teaching us wondrous truths from it. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. 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 Folks, tonight we come to the 21st letter of the Hebrew alphabet, the letter Shin. And of course, every verse from 161 through 168 begins with this Hebrew letter. That is in the Masoretic text, which made for easy memorization. Many a Jew could quote this psalm, all 176 verses of it, because of that arrangement. 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet, each letter representing one stanza of 8 verses. So let's get right into it tonight and see first. Notice David's comfort in persecution. Verse 161, David says, "Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word." Now, folks, I believe here in verse 161 that David is literally pointing directly back to the time when he was driven out of Israel. Go with me to 1 Samuel 26. Hold your place in Psalms. We're coming right back. 1 Samuel chapter 26, because I want you to see where this actually occurred, where princes came against the king and drave him out of Israel. In 1 Samuel chapter 26, watch it, verse 19. David says, "Now therefore I pray thee, let my lord the king," that's Saul, "hear the words of his servant. If the Lord have stirred thee up against me," he didn't, "let him accept an offering. But if they be the children of men, cursed be they before the Lord, for they have driven me out this day from abiding in the inheritance of the Lord, saying, go serve other gods." David was driven out of the Holy Land. Why? He was innocent. You know, folks, sometimes we've got to suffer for righteousness' sake. We've got to suffer wrongfully as a Christian.
And Jesus left us an example. He opened not his mouth. He didn't revile. He didn't answer back. He didn't threaten. He took it. He took it, even though it was wrong for him to be persecuted. We need to learn that lesson. David says here in Psalm 119, verse 161, princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. Now, notice here that even though the psalmist was driven out from the Holy Land, from the place of the temple and worship, he didn't forget God's word. He says, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. Folks, we go through dark tunnels in this Christian life. The devil makes sure of that. But we can have peace through that tunnel because of this book. This book will not fail you. The psalmist yet retained his peace in the midst of his persecution. Why? Because of God's word. But secondly, tonight, in Psalm 119, observe the source of David's joy. Verse 162. I rejoice at thy word, as one that findeth great spoil. Folks, let me ask you a question tonight. What is it that brings you joy? I mean, what is it in your life that you just look forward to, you can't wait to do, you just love to do? What is it? Think. David said, the word of God is my joy. It is my rejoicing of mine heart. If the word of God is the supreme object of your rejoicing, that's what you delight in, you will never be discouraged because it never changes. It's always glorious. Amen? Listen now. Because of David's love for God's word. Look what he says there in verse 162. As one that findeth great spoil. You know what that is? One that findeth great spoil. That's like these guys with the Geiger metal detectors. They go out on the beach and they beep, 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 beep. And what are they looking for? Treasure. They want to find treasure. And then it beep. That means they found something. They stop and they dig like crazy to dig it up. Why? They're looking for great treasure. David says, my great treasure, it's the word of God. It's the word of God. And I don't have to dig for it. It's right in front of me every day. Isn't that good? Thirdly, tonight, notice David's hatred of sin and love for truth. 163. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. Now, what a great contrast we have in verse 163. Indeed, beloved, all those who love God's word sincerely do genuinely hate sin. You hate sin. I didn't say you don't sin. I didn't say I don't sin. I said we hate sin. Amen? And when we sin, we have a wrong thought, we misspeak, we mistreat, we do something in the flesh, what happens? We repent of that. We come to the Lord. We have a heightened sin awareness, a conscious that the Holy Spirit is quickened, that we confess that immediately. Don't wait. Confess it immediately. Make it right with God. Why? Because you hate it. Paul said, that which I hate, I do. That which I love, I do not. Listen, folks, I didn't say that as a Christian, you never sin. I simply said that if you do, you hate it and you do something about it. That's the difference between you and the world. The world can sin and they just keep on sinning and sinning. Oh, it's just wonderful. They never repent. They never confess. They never turn to the Lord for forgiveness. Why? Because they don't know him. Now, let me say something. If you can sin and not care about the effects that your sin has upon others, there's something seriously wrong in your life. Okay? If you're a Christian and you can sin and it doesn't bother you, I need to talk to you because there's something wrong with that picture. If you sin, you need the Holy Spirit will smite you. And it's you that has to do something about it. God can't, your wife can't do that for you. Nobody but you. Fourthly, observe David's habit of worship. I like this. Verse 164, his habit of worship. Seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. Listen, church, if on Sunday only you worship the Lord with us, you are not right with God. I'm sorry, but Sunday is, yeah, we worship the Lord together, but what about you and him during the week? If you wait 7 days to worship the Lord again, something's wrong with that picture. Let me ask you a question. Do you have some favorite worship CDs that you love to put in and lift your hands to the Lord in your prayer closet and worship him? He wants you to. He wants you to. You know somebody else wants you to worship him? That's the devil. The devil wants worship too, but he can't have it. Jesus Christ demands our worship, and he deserves it, doesn't he? Listen now, worship of the King should be natural to you and me. For God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. Folks, you've heard that commercial, Uncle Sam is looking for a few good men, Marines. Well, God is looking for a few good men and women to worship him. He seeketh such to worship him. Oh, yes, David did. Do you have a praise and worship time where you get along with him daily and just tell him how much you love him? Just tell him how wonderful he is? I'm not talking about asking for prayer requests. He knows that. But I'm talking about worship. David did 7 times a day. But something else. Fifthly, notice where David's hope lied or laid. Verse 166. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments. Now listen carefully. David understood where his divine deliverance came from. Amen? It came from the Lord. So David says in verse 166, Lord, that's the one. That's the one you need. I have hoped for thy salvation. Now, he's not talking about soul salvation. He already had that. He was an Old Testament saint. He was a true believer. He already had salvation in the Old Testament sense of salvation. He's talking about deliverance here. Salvation from his enemies. And he says, Lord, you're the one I hope in for that deliverance. And you alone. Folks, we need, when something blows up, like this week, we need to look to the one who can deliver us from it and carry us through it. Amen? Now, the sixth thing I want you to notice tonight is David's good conscience. I like this. Look at verse 167. We find it in 167 and 168. David says, my soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. Now, here we find a good conscience. David could say, Lord, I've done your will. I've kept your word. Amen? What did he have? He had a clear conscience. You know what will prevent you from serving God? A guilty conscience. If you've got sin in your life, you're doing this, you've got secret sin. Nobody knows about it except you and God. You will not be effective in serving God. Listen, David said, Lord, my soul hath kept thy testimonies. I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies. You know what he had? He had a good conscience. He didn't have a guilty conscience, which prevents God's people from serving him. The devil wants to make you guilty. The devil wants to put sin in your life so that you won't be effective in God's service. Now, two things here David gives us. Two things here testify for David's clear conscience. First, that he obeyed God's word from within. Look at verse 167. David says, my what? My soul. Not my hands, not my feet, not my mouth. My soul, my inner man, my conscience, my heart hath kept thy testimonies. Folks, listen to me. God is not impressed with lip service. He wants the heart and soul. He wants the inner man, not the outer. He wants you to serve him from within, from a love to his son supremely. That's how he wants you to serve him. He doesn't want you to serve him from a bully whip or from someone twisting your arm or somebody forcing you against your will. He wants you to obey him from the heart, that form of doctrine. But secondly, not only did he do it from within, but secondly, concerning his clean conscience, observe the reason why he kept it clean and clear. Verse 168, I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies. Why? for all my ways are before thee. Did you see it? David says, the reason I am so insistent on being obedient and keeping God's word is because all my ways are before him. He's simply saying that God sees everything I do. Everything I think, everything I say, everything. He sees it all. And he says, I don't want to disappoint my Father in heaven. I want to put a smile on his face. I want to make him happy. I want to obey his word. And I want to be led by his spirit. Amen. Well-pleasing in his sight. David says, that's what I want. Why? Because all my ways are before his eyes. You think about that. That'll sober you up spiritually, folks. Listen, David understood that God sees everything. He knows everything. And that will keep you living right when you come to the realization that our Lord is observing every move we make. Amen? He's with us. He's so close to us that he's inside us. The Bible makes it clear. Therefore, we need to be keeping his word obediently. And remembering, here's the key. Ellie says paying attention on purpose. That's right. Remembering that he sees us in all our ways. How many of you know God sees in the dark? God sees in the dark. You've got to remember that. Listen, it's very important. But there's one final thing that I want to give you tonight. I saved one verse, if you noticed. I skipped over it. On purpose. Finally tonight, I want us to focus in for a few moments. In light of the events of this past week. I want us to focus in on one verse. And see what it is that will keep the believer walking in the peace of God. Both within and without. That's toward God and toward our fellow man. Look at verse 165. Great what? Peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Now, I want to ad lib. I want to add something to that verse. Not really. But if I could add something to that verse, it would be this. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them, neither shall they offend any. Hear what I said? The implication here is that the person, the Christian, who loves this book supremely, will not be offended when someone wrongs them. Likewise, they will not want to offend anyone else because they love God's word. Listen, look at verse 165. It's not just any ordinary peace. It's a what? Great peace. It's not a peace as the world give it. It's the peace of Christ Jesus, which he left you and me by his spirit. Oh, folks, I need you to listen to me tonight. Two things the psalmist states here in verse 165. First, there is a holy serenity available. Second, there is a holy security equally available. So first of all, observe this holy serenity of mind that is available. Verse 165, he says, great peace have they which love thy law. Have they. Notice the present possessive tense. You got it. If you love his law supremely. That's his word. Now, notice here that if you are going to experience and retain this divine heavenly peace of God, then you are going to need to develop a love for this book that surpasses all other loves in your life. You hear what I said? The problem is some people love sin more than this book. If that's your case, you will not have this peace, and you will take offense, and you will offend others too. Okay? This is what the verse is saying. Don't get mad at the messenger. Now listen to me. You may have great troubles without, and yet have great peace within. Let me make a statement. If you are always at war with someone, you can't get along with the brethren. You're constantly feuding and fighting and fussing with people. Then you don't love this book supremely, according to what we just read from God's word. There's something wrong in your heart. Listen, you love yourself too much. If that's your case, you love yourself more than God and more than this book. Because you think you have the right to offend people, chase people out of church, and then do nothing about it. You see? You don't have that great peace. Instead, you have the opposite. You have great misery if you don't love this book and be careful of offending the brethren. Folks, if I offend somebody in this church and they leave the church, do you think I'm going to stand here and keep preaching? No, I'm going to be at their door. I'm going to be on their phone. I'm going to be in their presence begging their forgiveness. Hello? I mean, what are we doing here? Folks, we've got a problem in the church and it needs to change. If you offend somebody, you've got to go to that. I'm going to show you that in a minute here. Now, if you think you're more important than God, you think that your rights are more important than God's rights and God's will. If you take that liberty to offend somebody and chase them out of church. Look at me in Isaiah. Hold your place. We're coming back. Isaiah. Give me 5 minutes. We'll be done. Chapter number 32. Here's what we need. All of us. Not just the deacons. Not just the Sunday school teacher. Look with me here. In Isaiah 32. Look with me at verse 1. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness. Who is that somebody? Who is that king? Jesus Christ. This is a prophecy of Messiah. The millennial kingdom. He's the king. Not you. Not me. Amen? Watch. A king shall reign. By the way, when a king issues an order, it's not to be discussed or debated. It's to be obeyed. Whoa. Listen, a king shall reign in righteousness and princes shall rule in judgment. And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind. That's what Jesus is. And as a covert from the tempest. That's a covering from the storm. As rivers of water, living waters, the Holy Spirit, in a dry place. As a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. That's what Jesus is. And the eyes of them that see shall not be dim. And the ears of them that hear shall hearken. You're supposed to listen to God. The heart also of the rash shall understand knowledge. And the tongue of the stammerer shall be ready to speak plainly. He says, this king is going to change your life. He's going to take over, right? Drop down with me to verse 16. Watch it. 16. Then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. Somebody's bearing fruits of the Spirit. And the work of righteousness shall be what?
Peace.
Peace. Peace. You want peace with the brethren? You've got to do work righteousness. Not gossip. Not slander. Not offenses. Look at it. The work of righteousness shall be peace. It'll make peace. And the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation. Here's what the Lord wants for KJV Bible Baptist Church. A peaceable habitation. In sure dwellings. In quiet resting places. What's happened? What's happened, church? Why aren't we seeing this lately? Something's wrong. Beloved, listen to me. This great peace, go back to Psalm 119. This great peace is only for those who sincerely love God's word and make it their practice in their daily lives. You can't take this book, dust it off on Sunday morning, take it to church, take it home and put it away for another week and expect to have peace in your life. This book is precious, and we neglect it, and we don't heed it, and we don't study it, we don't meditate in it. Go to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Look with me at verse number 1. My son, now this is picture God the Father speaking to you and to me. My son, forget not my law, word of God, but let thine heart keep my commandments. See, it's hot work. Why? Why, Lord? For length of days and long life and what?
Peace.
Peace shall they add to thee. Did anybody catch that? He says, if you keep his word, it will give you not only a long, healthy, happy life, it'll give you divine peace in your life. You know why you fuss and feud and fight? Because you don't have peace. If you don't have peace, how can you possibly have peace with the brethren? You see?
Now, there's a great serenity, secondly. That's the great security that's available to us. Secondly, there is a great serenity available to those who love God's word. Go back with me to Psalm 119, verse 165. Look at it. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You know what I see right there? I see a great serenity of mind and heart, a great composure within, where nothing is upsetting that person because they're focused on the word of Christ. Oh, I hope somebody's listening. Great security is available to those who love his word. Now listen, church, in this great serenity, you will not be taking offense when you're mistreated. And you will not, see, I'm not just preaching tonight to those who offend. I'm preaching to those who become offended by the offenders. Okay, I'm preaching to every one of us, including me. Listen, you will not be taking offense when you're mistreated, and you will not be offending others by mistreating them. Why? Because you'll have a holy serenity within that nothing can shake. Now here we have the number one reason for division and strife and wars in the churches. Christians offending one another. Offending one another and, verse 165, being offended by one another. See that? It goes both ways. Isn't it? I know, read it. Sad. Now listen, this is the great heartache of the ministry for pastors. When they see people in the church that are supposed to love one another, and they're fussing and they're fighting, and some of them drop out and they never come back. Why? They were mistreated. Why? Listen, seeing the devil wreaking havoc amongst the brethren breaks the preacher's heart. And then, when you do offend a brother or a sister, and you know they've been offended, you don't go to them and try to make it right. But you allow that turmoil to grow and to fester and to multiply till it explodes like a nuclear bomb. And you have a church split. Folks, a serious message tonight. Go with me to Matthew 13. Watch what Jesus said about offending and being offended. It's serious business. Something he hates is pride. In Matthew chapter 13, everybody look at this. Verse 41, words in red. Jesus says, the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, that day's coming, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that what?
Offend.
And them which do iniquity. He says, there's coming a day when those who offend, and they offend, and they offend, and they don't care, they'll be separated. Separated out of the kingdom. Of course, this is a millennial, we know this is Matthew, it's a millennial kingdom context. We understand that. But there is spiritual application, folks. Hello, the whole Bible is for us. Look in chapter 18 of Matthew. Chapter 18, just about done. In Matthew 18, look at verse 7. Watch what Jesus says to those who offend. What's the first word, verse 7? Woe unto you, unto the world, because of offenses. For it must needs be that offenses come. But woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Jesus says, you best not be the guilty party in offending the brethren. He said, woe unto you. Chapter 5 of Matthew. Go back to the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5. Look with me in Matthew chapter 5 at verse 21. Jesus says, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, he says, if you come to church, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee. You've got a feud going on with a brother in the church, and you come to church. Verse 24, here's what I want you to see. Jesus says, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way first. Be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Jesus says, I don't want you to come to my house and worship me and pray before me and hear my word until you get right with your brother. That's what he said. Folks, I'm not making this up. So if you have a problem with somebody in the church, Jesus just told you, you need to go to that person. You know what we do? We go to sister so-and-so. And, psst, 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 psst. You know what so-and-so? Psst, 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 psst. And you know what so-and-so? Psst, psst. And you know what the pastor said? Psst, psst. Stop it! Go to the person that you have the trouble with. Now go back to our text, verse 165. I want to finish up. And folks, I know that we're missing a bunch of people tonight. I'm going to send them all this message after we post it on the website, because everybody in the church needs to hear this message, not just a select few. Look with me in Psalm 119. We'll finish up. Verse 165. Now, knowing what we just saw from the Bible, let's read it. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Nothing shall offend them. Oh Lord, how we thank you tonight in closing that your word has all the answers for any trial we face, any storm that comes down the pike. Your word gives us divine instruction in black and white on what to do about it. Lord, I pray, my prayer tonight concerning this message is that every single member of KJV Bible Baptist Church will hear this message this week. And Lord, that those who've been offended and those who have offended will be reconciled. Will say, I want to do what God's word says. I don't want to give the flesh its way. I don't want to give the devil its way. I don't want to give the world its way. I'm going to do what the Bible says. I'm going to do what Jesus said. And I'm going to go and make things right with that sister, with that brother, whatever it might be. That's my prayer tonight, Lord. That every single one of us will search our hearts, beginning with me. And Lord, if there be anything amiss, anything not aright, dear Lord, that you'd reveal that to us, Holy Spirit, that we might make it right before your throne. Because this coming Sunday, we'll celebrate the Lord's table. And that's a very serious time of soul searching, oh God. We thank you for the message of encouragement tonight. Lord, I'm not discouraged. I am encouraged because of the answers we have here from the Word of God. And we thank you, Lord, that that great peace of Jesus Christ is available to every single member of this church if we'll only take it and receive it by loving your word. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. The people said, amen, amen. All right, folks, let's grab our hymnals at this time. We will, okay, Timmy, love you. We will sing one in closing. And let's open up to 189. I'll tell you, folks, there's one thing that is really sweet, and that is living by faith and trust in Jesus Christ. 189, and we're going to sing the first, second, and fourth. 'Tis so sweet. Once again, the got the wrong disc. So sorry, folks. Let's make that 302. 302. So sorry. And on 302, come thou fount, we'll sing all three. Yes. Come thou fount of every blessing. Tune mine heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, of the songs of loudest praise. Is this a melodious song? Is sung by flaming tongues above? Is the mount I am fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love? And thy hope I never need, hither by thy help I've come. And I hope by thy good pleasure, safely to abide.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, thank you for a good service tonight. And Lord, we just thank you for the admonishment from your word. Lord, I thank you that your word has all the answers for us. And Lord, I thank you that because of your word, we shall continue. We shall be that glorious church that you've called us to be, spreading the gospel worldwide through Jesus Christ. And Lord, we thank you tonight for blessing us and giving answers as only you can by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, folks, for our prayer meeting tonight,